WAER Sports proudly presents the Ostrom Avenue Podcast.
Goalpost goes down for just the seventh time in program history. Syracuse football has secured a top 10 win in the Dome.
Freeman straight away elevates and slams. Ladies and gentlemen, Donnie Freeman is here in the 315.
And it's misery at the hands of Maryland. Syracuse with its closest shot at a championship in over a decade gets sent home.
Hearing from a host of guests.
Super excited to welcome back onto the podcast the voice of Syracuse men's lacrosse, Tim Leonard.
Now Jason Benetti, voice of the Detroit Tigers.
And providing all the hot takes.
If Syracuse beats Miami, there are no questions. This program is headed in the right direction. Fran Brown is the leader of the future.
These are guys that can make impacts on day one. You're going to see that presence. That just when Syracuse in the past, when you look at their offensive line and defensive line, they were undersized in committing penalties. Now, they might still commit penalties. Who knows? But at least you know they're not going to be undersized.
It's the Ostrom Avenue Podcast, and it starts right now.
Welcome into the Ostrom Avenue Podcast. AJ Myers, happily joined alongside Josh Rother. Griffin Bloomstein is not with us today. He's taking a bye week. He couldn't make this week. It's been a busy week for all of us here. And it's also been a pretty crappy weather week, Josh. Let's lead with that. I'm feeling weather. You know why? Because it's sunny now. We're recording this Friday morning. I finally see the sun. All week, it was a little bit of snow at the start of the week, and then it was a lot of rain at the end of the week.
Yeah, first snowfall of the week, so, you know, time to bring the boots out and really kind of focus on bundling up. I didn't have too bad of an experience with the weather this week, though. I feel like I was well protected, but it is good to see, you know, the snowfall coming back means it's kind of basketball season now.
Exactly. So
that's kind of an omen for good things to come, hopefully.
That's exactly what I always think. When the snow starts falling, you know, hoop season has really arrived. And I have a bit of a dilemma. I don't have snow boots at the moment. The ones I had don't fit me anymore. So I still need to get snow boots. So I'm kind of hoping a big snow holds off because I don't know when I'm going to get them. But that is something I need to do.
I don't have like the really rough, you know, snow boots, but yeah. I got the Uggs with the fur inside.
That works through the snow.
Yeah, keeps you warm, and you know it does the trick in the snow.
I need the traction because you know it gets slippery, especially with these steps at Syracuse. It can get treacherous with the ice and whatnot. And I do think we're gonna get some snow at the beginning of next week, but hopefully it's just a little bit, nothing too much. Because again, I'm not equipped with snow boots at the moment. One thing that Syracuse football is not equipped with at the moment is winning. They dropped another game. It feels like a long time ago because it was just another forgettable game against number 18 Miami. They fell 38-10. The Orange have now dropped six straight games. They have not won a game, Josh, since that win at Clemson, which we all thought was the moment where this team was going to win the ACC, win the national title. Everything was going to go well, but that did not happen.
Yeah, I think I thought that the defense actually held up pretty strong in the first half of this one. It's really unfortunate that no matter how good of a game the defense could play, even if they held Miami to, you know, 21 points or 14 points in this one, there's just no mathematical outcome where Syracuse football wins a game with the quarterback room as of right now. You know, Ricky Collins looked like his usual self. You know, he kind of reverted back to what we had seen in the Duke game and in the SMU game. Two just bad interceptions, you know, the pick six, obviously. I thought that was the major turning point. After the pick six, it just felt like the offense was completely defeated. They moved the ball absolutely not at all. So I think, you know, once you look at the fact that this is strictly a quarterback issue, it gets a little bit easier to swallow at the end of the day, because I think when you look at how the defense held up in this one, I think it's a sign of good things to come when you get next year, when you get your quarterback back. And there's really not much else to it, in my opinion. The quarterback is the sole reason that Syracuse offense has looked the way it has.
It has, and I think you bring up an interesting point with defense. I feel bad for the defense because when the season, you know, finally comes to a close, there will be no bowl game for the first time in 4 years. for Syracuse after they dropped their seventh game. It looks like the defense was atrocious this season. You know, 41 points, 30 points, 38 points, but they couldn't catch no break. There were times where they would be off the field for 5 seconds because this offense couldn't move the ball whatsoever. And, you know, the Orange held around with the Hurricanes. The first quarter was 0-0. It was a doozy of a first quarter. And even towards the end of the second, they were still hanging around. But then you bring up the key of that Ricky Collins interception. It was an awful throw. I don't know what he's thinking. And ultimately, that's kind of the setting stone on Ricky Collins. He never got better this season. If he plays again, which who knows what the quarterback will be in South Bend in 2 weeks or next week. But he never got better. You know, he's just as poor as he was when he came in against Clemson and we played against Duke. And it really is going to be the question of who's going to be behind Steve Angeli next season. Is it Luke Kearney, where you know he's got a red shirt this season? He has one more game to play. I heard people are thinking he's just going to play against BC. I don't know what the deal is right there. Is it Joseph Filardi? You know,
Filardi did look good.
Like
he had the lone touchdown of the game.
Yeah, he was someone who could actually throw the ball correctly. And then, there's quite a few mysteries on this football season, but the biggest one has to be Jakari Williams and what he did wrong to not even see the field. And he's a guy who's already redshirted. I mean, he has to transfer. I don't see a world which he comes back. And, you know, does Fran Brown really look at Ricky Collins and say, yep, you're the backup next year? I don't know.
Yeah, I would say it's probably a foregone conclusion that the quarterback room looks a lot different next year. I think Ricky Collins is probably on his way out. Like you mentioned, Jakari Williams is also probably on his way out. I think you probably look at Luke Kearney, see what he can do either in the Notre Dame or the BC game. And if you like what you have, you know, I think you keep him around and you let him kind of learn under Steve. I think, you know, Fran Brown, you know, it's really tough, the situation his quarterback room is in. I actually agree with him kind of letting, you know, the field try out. This has kind of just been like an 8-week tryout for the backup quarterback. You can look at it that way. You know, Ricky Collins has obviously gotten the most reps at that. And I think he has probably failed the most reps at that. But I think it's not a bad idea to see, you know, some other guys, as crazy as it is to, you know, have, you know, the fifth string quarterback in Filardi take some stats. We can see Rich Beelen maybe get in the last couple games as well. So, you know, a trial and error right now, and it's a lot of error, but I think it's important that Fran Brown is learning what he has, as opposed to, you know, kind of going into next year and seeing that he could lose two quarterbacks and not know what he has.
Certainly. And there was a lot of learning this entire season. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, I think Fran Brown, I think we'll learn a lot from the season, maybe more than he did last year in a winning season. The biggest question is going to be, what if Steve Angeli stayed healthy? Was this roster actually talented enough to win games? Because I think people also have to remember, this is a hard schedule. And we already knew that this roster was not as talented as the roster before that. The roster before that, you know, I'm talking about last season, also got a big break with the schedule. Schedule was pretty easy. They got a lot of breaks. You know, Josh,
they didn't take advantage of it. You know, they had some great wins, Georgia Tech and Miami, which makes up for the terrible losses. There's no reason they should have lost to Stanford at home. There's no reason they should have lost to BC on the road. So, you know,
it could have been a one-loss team,
It could have been a one-loss team. It could have been a team in the ACC championship with just that one loss to Pitt, which would have been a completely different dynamic. So I think Fran Brown now really needs to focus on the retention aspect of it. You know, he's shown that he can win with an easier schedule, and he can beat the good teams on the schedule. It's, can he keep the guys like Delorier, like Samuel? Like, he just needs to focus on the retention aspect of it to make sure that he has a chance, you know, win 10 games again in the coming seasons.
Certainly, and these last two games are basically glorified preseason games for the Orange. I mean, Fran Brown can really do whatever he wants to do. The Orange, unfortunately, again, they don't have anything to play for, sitting at 3-7. Just, you know, some dignity maybe to get a win. Don't end the season on a...
Well, I don't know how much of a fan you are, but, like, wouldn't that just be awesome if they knocked Notre Dame out of the playoffs? Notre Dame is playing. They have to win out to get in with the two early season losses to Texas A&M and Miami. If they knock the Fighting Irish, that's going to be back-to-back years. At the end of the year, they knock out a playoff contending team. That would be something for Fran Brown to look back at and say, this season was not a complete failure.
Absolutely. You know, because that's what you did last season. That was the big moment last season. You killed Miami's playoff hopes, and you could have done that last week. You know, Miami had to win that game last week. And, you know, obviously they blew them out. And, you know, you could already look at it and say, yeah, you were the start of Clemson's derail as well. You know, that was the, I mean, I think Clemson played poorly before Syracuse, but that was the first game where it was like, oh, they're not good, they're bad. And Syracuse showed that. And yeah, I mean, a road win in South Bend to end Notre Dame's season would be Fran Brown's biggest moment in Orange. With this roster, 100%, there's no denying that. And if he could do that, that would be something. And I think that's another reason what makes the game interesting is that, you know, there is a lot for Notre Dame to play for. They're going to be playing with plenty of urgency. They know they can't sleep on this game because of how much it means to them.
I think I agree. I think if Syracuse does somehow beat Notre Dame, which is going to be, you know, just it would be an absolute miracle if that happened with the situations that, you know, Syracuse currently has. But if they could somehow do that, I think that would be the cherry on top for an otherwise very gloomy second season for Fran Brown.
Certainly would. Syracuse takes on Notre Dame, not this weekend, but the weekend after that. They get a late second bye week. That was something that did not help Fran Brown, I think. That second bye week could have been a little earlier, I think, for this group, but it is what it is. Switching over to hoops because, you know, snow's on the ground. It's basketball season, as we mentioned. Syracuse women's basketball continues its strong start to the season. They're 3-0. They had a good win. I'm going to say good, Josh, against Canisius because the Golden Griffins outscored the Orange in the second and third quarter. You know, and Felicia Leggett Jack was spot on post game. Not a fan of the defense in this one because they kind of let the Golden Griffins play their best game of the year.
Yeah, they held UAlbany to 10 points in the game before, so I think we were getting a little too comfortable, a little bit too used to how, you know, swarming Syracuse's presence was on defense, and they get a little bit lackadaisical there in the second and third quarters, like you mentioned. But, you know, in the at the end of the day, I don't really think it matters. You know, Syracuse's offense has completely outweighed the offense of their opponents so far. So even when you take a step back defensively, you still get a near 30-point win. I mean, this is pretty unprecedented. I mean, last season they were really struggling in these non-conference games. This Felicia Leggett Jack team is really good. This could be a top four team in the ACC by the end of the year. And, you know, it all starts with Layla Felia and Dominique Darius, two of the better transfers that, you know, Felicia Leggett Jack has brought in her era as the head coach here. And, you know, they start on the defensive end. Dominique Darius has been a great rebounding presence. That is something that FLJ wanted to harp on in the offseason, was getting a good rebounder. And even at the guard spot, Dominique Darius, great rebounder. Felia got a couple steals in that one once again. So, you know, those are two great defensive anchors for the Orange, and they turn it into points on the offensive end as well.
They certainly do. And Dominique Darius and Layla Feely, you hit the nail on the head. You know, the way they can get just easy buckets quickly going into the lane, pull up jumper from the free throw line. It's pretty easy. You know, there is not difficulty for them scoring. And you just hope that continues into ACC play because at times last year, that was the problem. This team just really couldn't put up a whole lot of offense. And I think there is still a little concern with Sophie Burrows. Again, just 7 points against Canisius, 3 of 6 shooting. She did knock down a three-pointer in the second half, and the Dome crowd was aware. I loved it. They were aware when she knocked down that three-pointer, it got really loud. They knew she'd been struggling. So hopefully she could get things back on track because I don't think you can solely rely on two scoring threats. You need that three-point connection for Burrows.
Well, AJ, I think it's really interesting. I asked Felicia Ligacek after their first game about the 3-point shooting. The volume is just not there yet. They've only attempted 31 three-pointers through 3 games. You know, there was games last year they would shoot 30 three-pointers in a game. And, you know, they were the lowest volume 3-point shooting team last year. But, you know, she was telling me, you know, she was daring other teams to leave them open. And it's a little, you know, cloudy right now. You know, they're shooting 19% from beyond the arc. They're getting a lot done inside, and they've been very strong in the paint. And I think they should continue to you know, rely on scoring inside the paint because it's worked really well thus far. And that's what happens when you go and get out a girl like Uche Izoje. But, you know, I think it's very interesting that, you know, they're not trying more three-pointers. Do they want to just dominate these teams early on and, you know, show that they can win by 25, 30 points? Yeah, maybe, sure. But I think before you get into ACC play, I think they'd like to see the shooters that they have on this team.
Definitely. But I also think that Coach Jack is solely focused on defense. She wants her team to be a defensive prowess team, locked down, hold teams to, you know, that under 60, 50 point kind of kind of mark, and that is her focus, because the defense was also really poor last season. So hopefully that those things are fixed for this season. It's always hard to tell, you know, these early games, things look so well, but you got to remember it is Canisius. It is, you know, who they played, Stony Brook, UAlbany. It's ultimately teams that you're not going to be playing in January and February when it really counts in ACC play. So I have to wait and see what's true and what's not for Syracuse women's basketball. And the same could be said for Syracuse men's basketball. They got a trip to the great city of Philadelphia this weekend. I will be at that game. I'm super excited about it. Against Drexel at 3:30 on Saturday. Before that, they beat up Delaware State 83-43. Josh, another really clean performance from Adrian Autry's group. Donnie Freeman looked really good again. He led all scorers with 20 points. William Kyle continued to throw down a bunch of dunks. Again, it all looked really promising for the Orange.
Yeah, I think it is entered, you know, kind of that calming territory where you're starting to realize that this team is much, much improved from last season. If that wasn't already apparent in the Binghamton game, this team is very sound together. They play off of each other very well. You didn't even mention Kyan Anthony. I mean, talk about the poise of this freshman. I mean, it's not just Kyan Anthony. When you look across the nation at all the freshmen, this class is special, but especially Kyan Anthony, 19 points on 8 of 11 shooting, 3 rebounds, and 4 assists. He did miss a couple free throws, but the only reason he earned those free throws was fighting through contact. He had a chance to convert a 4-point play. He had a couple layups in the lane where he could have had, you know, and ones there, but, you know, obviously struggling on the free throw side of it. But, you know, apart from that, you know, just the way he controlled the basketball, he's very smooth offensively. He's a phenomenal ball handler. He's great at shot creating. You know, this is a legitimate, scary offensive team in the ACC this year. I think it is going to be really interesting. J.J. Starling did not play in this contest. He missed it with a lower body injury, like he missed the majority of that Binghamton game. Only 3 minutes so far this season for J.J. Starling. When Starling does come back to this lineup, what is that going to look like? Is Adrian Autry going to revert Kyan Anthony back to the bench? I mean, Nate Kings has started in that 3 spot. I could see Kings maybe sliding to the bench and Kyan stays in the starting lineup. I can't imagine a world right now where you bench Kyan Anthony. This guy is
– yeah.
Go ahead. I mean, I think this guy has been the best offensive player on the Orange this year.
I would say Donnie Freeman has been, but I think you're making a great point that – you know, and Adrian Autry has to look at this. And I think he looked at it last year, too. If you're good enough, you're in the starting lineup, regardless of what class you're in. Especially, you know, especially with Kyan Anthony, you know, he clearly can handle the moment, no problem. There, you know, it doesn't seem like there's any nerves or anything with him so far. And I would look at Nate Kings, and, you know, I hope he turns things around. But he's probably been the one player who it's like, yeah, hasn't looked too good yet. You know, just, I mean, 7 points isn't bad.
Of course, shooting, I picked him as my player. Yeah.
Sorry, Josh. But the shooting just hasn't been there whatsoever so far in this season. You know, 1 of 4 from 3. If he could turn that around, then yes, you know, he probably is a starter. But I think you also have to look at it on the other side. If you bench, you know, a senior player like Nate Kings, is that going to totally derail his confidence this early in the season? Because there's no way you're sitting J.J. Starling on the bench. You know, there's just no way.
No, I think Red can get away with it for right now. I think, you know, the difference between, you know, a 28-minute player in the starting lineup versus a 24-minute six-man is small enough that I think if he lets Kings just get back to the basics of, you know, practicing his shots, 1 of 7 on the year from beyond the arc, that's not something that we can get too used to seeing. I think he was a volume shooter over at Oregon State. I think this is a guy who could attempt, you know, 100 to 120 threes over the course of a season in hopes of knocking down, you know, 30 or 40 of them as the season goes on. So I think, you know, if Kings, you know, struggles again against Drexel, I think you could see him kind of move to the bench and just really focus on shooting, and he can maybe shoot his way back into the starting lineup over the course of the season. But I don't think there's too much cause for concern yet. It's still very, very early on.
Yeah, and I think Kyan Anthony off the bench could still work as that, you know, go-to six man. I don't think he necessarily has to be in the starting lineup. And again, credit to Adrian Autry. I mean, everyone wants to criticize this guy for last season. He makes good calls, you know. I mean, starting Kyan Anthony was the move. You know, he could have started, you know, Tyler Betsy maybe, you know, a more senior player. But no, he looked at it and was like, oh, Kyan Anthony's been one of the best players so far this season. He's been electric on the offensive end. He plays great defense as well. You know, why not start him? You know, there was no hesitation to start him at all. And the way he's got handled himself too, you know, everything he said post game is exactly what you want from a young player, and you know, a young player that, you know, does have carrying some baggage with that last name. And right now it does not look to be you know, glooming down on him at all. I think it'll be interesting to see what the status of JJ Starling is. You know, Josh, I'm sure you've picked up on this. You never know with injuries here in Syracuse. They say one thing, and a player, you know, it's like game after game, a player is not back yet. And that happened last season with Donnie Freeman. And J.J. Starling. Yeah, especially Donnie Freeman. It was, oh, he's got a lower body problem. A month later. Oh, it turns out he needs surgery on his leg. So hopefully J.J. Starling, you know, everyone was like, oh, it's nothing big, it's nothing big, it's most likely a hamstring or something. Hopefully that is the case, and hopefully it is not something worse than that. I do hope we get to see him against Drexel. I understand resting against Delaware State. I'm not saying Drexel is some juggernaut, but still a road game. You know, there'll be some kind of atmosphere in Philly. I think you just don't want any – I mean, you can't afford any problems. If you have problems against Drexel on the road, it's already a big blemish in your schedule. They have to handle business.
No, I think the more important thing about getting Starling healthy is – you know, you look at last year, they were 2-5 in games without Starling last year. And, you know, the difference about this team is the roster can play off of Starling better. Starling does not have to be a 25-point-per-game scorer for the Orange to win this year. And I think that's, you know, the better part, that we haven't even seen what this team looks like with Starling in the lineup yet. Starling doesn't need to be the primary scorer this year. He can kind of just settle into his own, you know, be relaxed on the court, and he can still, you know, go to the rim and get tough shots, but he doesn't have to be like a every other possession. Starling needs to finish the possession with the ball in his hands. So I think that's a really unique thing that we can get used to seeing, is how the offense plays when Starling doesn't have to be the scorer every possession. Now, on top of that, I don't know if you've noticed, but I've already seen Adrian Autry in the pressers. He looks so much more comfortable than last year. I thought he was scared to face the press last year, to answer some of the questions, to, you know, deal with the criticism that he had to with you know, the injuries and the struggles last season. I think he's genuinely having fun. I think they had a home run class, both in the transfer portal and with the freshmen, Kyan Anthony and Sadiq White. I think, you know, Autry is really enjoying this team. One of the things he brought up in the press conference was about the kills. You know, get 3 defensive stops in a row, get 6 or 7 of those a game, and you win the game 85 to 90% of the time. He is really having fun with the analytical side of basketball, and it's really translating. I mean, he's got his guys hunting and killing on the defensive end. You know, he's got this, you know, whole hunting mindset, and he's got his guys really amped up to go. And I think that has been the complete 180 from last season, is seeing how confident Autry is in his guys.
Certainly, and the whole kills thing, you know, the fan, he wants the fans get involved in that too. Getting in the orange zone when they're 1 kill away from 3 stops in a row, which is kind of weird. I wish it wasn't called kills, but that's what it is called. And there would be some interesting things last year when Adrian Autry would get up to the podium. You know, he would start his press conferences with, like, criticizing the fans or the atmosphere. And, you know, you'd be like, well, you know, Red, you just had a triple overtime game, in, you know, against Youngstown State. Like, what do you expect? So, you know, this year things look to be rolling smooth again, just 2 games in. Game 3 against Drexel is 3:30 tomorrow. You know, there should be any problems here, right, Josh?
No, Drexel has been, it will be the best opponent Syracuse has faced, so far this year. I look at the fact that Drexel averaging a little bit over 80 points a game on the year. They shoot the 3 ball well. They're about a 35% team from beyond the arc. Syracuse defensively, you know, they haven't played, you know, the greatest teams in the early going, but they're holding their opponents to 2 of 27 from beyond the arc. That's about 7%. So if they can hold a team that shoots at 35%, you know, below that 20% mark, below that, you know, 25% mark, you know, great shot to, you know, control this game from start to finish. I think Syracuse probably wins this game handily. The offensive scoring will continue. I think we'll get to see William Kyle, maybe a double reverse 360 tomahawk, front flip dunks. So, you know, that'll be fun to keep watching this Lob City threat. It'll be a fun show for sure.
Yeah, I'm sure the Philly crowd would love that as well. It's a 3:30 tip-off in Xfinity Mobile Arena in Philadelphia. Game is on Peacock, so you got to go streaming if you want to watch it. But why would you want to watch it when you can listen to it for free? You don't have to pay for anything. It's not on certain platforms or anything like that. I'm speaking for all those that are frustrated with the current YouTube TV situation and how difficult it is becoming to watch sports with the million different platforms. That's why you have WAER for Syracuse men's basketball. It's easy. WAER.org, 88.3. So easy to listen to for free. No paywalls, no nothing. 3 o'clock, McClurg Remodeling countdown to tip off. And then, again, 3:30 tip off on WAER. That's the place to be to listen to it. That's all the time we got this week. A quick episode for you on the Ostrom Avenue podcast. Next week, we're going to talk football once again because Syracuse does have that big-ish game against Notre Dame, especially for the Irish, and they could play. Spoiler troop, Griffin will be back. His bye week, just one. He doesn't get a second bye week. I think Josh gets two bye weeks. No, I'm kidding. No bye weeks for us. Only Griffin takes bye weeks. I'm making that up. But we'll all be back next week for a fun episode. We'll recap this basketball game. Keep talking basketball for the men's and women's side. Make sure you don't miss any episodes of the Ostrom Avenue podcast. That's what I'm trying to get to. You can find a full library of episodes at WAER.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Till next time, we will see you later.